Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We spent about 10 minutes talking about history last night, and this was yesterday on the show, and of course, history was made. Took a little bit longer than I anticipated. In fact, last night I was wondering if Clayton Kershaw would get to strike out 3,000, but he finally did in the sixth inning, and he did it with a backwards K. It was kind of interesting the way things went down. Nonetheless, history was made at Dodger Stadium, and we're going to talk about that right now and more with our next guest, our good friend, Steve Bortstein, who is joining us right now. Steve, a pleasure to get you on, specifically after a historical night in Major League Baseball. And as you and I were talking about, I don't know if it happens again, at least for a very long time.
Well, again, well, first, thank you for having me on. And, it was historic for a number of reasons. Again, it's Clayton Kershaw. One of the things that I think gets forgotten a little bit is that it's the same pitcher who's played with the same team for all 18 years. In this day and age of high leverage contracts, no trade clauses, and free agent deals, how amazing is it that Clayton Kershaw's entire Hall of Fame career is going to be in one uniform? And this is a guy who, again, a couple of years ago, you and I were having conversations about, does he go to Texas to finish his career? That's where he played high school ball. That's where he's from. You know, was he going to go there at the end of an offseason? And instead, he's going to finish his career as one of the greatest pitchers of all time, one of only 20 in the history of the sport to throw 3,000 strikeouts. And now he does it all in a Dodger uniform, which is unprecedented. And to give you a number of how historic that is, there have been, I did a little research on this, there have been more than 24,000 players in the history of Major League Baseball. 140 plus years of Major League Baseball, there have been more than 24,000 players. Clayton Kershaw is 0.01% of the players who have 3,000 strikeouts.
It's incredible when you think about it. And then to make it even a little bit deeper, only two others have achieved 3,000 strikeouts in one uniform. We got to go back to Walter Johnson and then Bob Gibson, who was one of my all-time favorite players. I think he's highly and criminally underrated with what he was able to do with the Cardinals. But when you put that in perspective, right, all the idea of him going on and finishing his career with another team, only two players in the history of the game before last night achieved 3,000 strikeouts with one team. It's incredible. And the most recent was Bob Gibson. I am going to say that will never happen again in this day and age of player movement.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, we'll obviously get into some of the other, you know, will it ever happen, you know, scenarios here in a moment. But, yeah, with one team in this day and age, it's just, it's unheard of. So, pretty impressive stuff last night. And, you know, like you said, you know, when I'm listening to the game, I was driving home last night covering a baseball tournament out here in New Mexico. Driving home last night, first, second, third innings, I'm like, he may not get there tonight, you know. It was just the White Sox were swinging at everything. They were getting lousy, you know, cheap bat-bats. Cheap contact for the most part. And next thing you know, he finally gets his opportunity. And give credit to Davey Johnson, who could have pulled the plug. He could have pulled him out a little bit earlier had he so chosen. But instead, he chose to, you know, to stick with Clayton in that situation and let him get that 3,000 strikeout. And a better even that it was not just a called third strike, but it was the end of the inning. So he didn't have to, like, stop the game, you know, unnaturally in the middle of everything. You could actually give him that 2.5 minutes, you know, to do everything between innings, which made it even better.
I give the White Sox a lot of credit last night. 11 of the first 13 at-bats had two strikes on them. Like, they were determined to not be a footnote in history last night. I give them a lot of credit for that.
No, I do. And, I it's nice that he does it in front of the home crowd, because you didn't want to have to wait till, you know, next week or after the All-Star break to do it. You wanted to get it over with now. So a pretty impressive moment. You and I were talking about, you know, off the air about, will this happen again? And, you know, you and I have been following baseball for, you know, as long as we've known each other, and before that even, you know, we've been following baseball most of our lives. I don't know if we're going to see it. I don't know. I mean, I remember when, you know, Nolan Ryan got his 4,000th and 5,000th. I remember when, you know, watching Steve Carlton get his. And I don't know if we see this again, considering that there's only two players that are still active, right? I think there's only two players that are even remotely close to 3,000 at this point.
Yeah, where it sits right now, Chris Sale would be the next closest. We got to remember he's pitched 15 seasons. He's 36 years old. He's got 2,528 strikeouts. Now, I want to look at innings pitched. That's what you really have to look at, okay? Clayton Kershaw's pitched 2,787 innings. You look at the other two active pitchers that have 3,000 strikeouts, Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. Scherzer has pitched 2,891 innings. Justin Verlander has pitched 3,483 innings. Chris Sale is at 2,047 innings. The point and the reason for that being so important is because starting pitchers simply don't go 6, 7, 8 innings consistently anymore. And I think when you look at the 3,000 strikeout club, Kershaw was kind of a part, the end of that era where you constantly saw pitchers going 6, 7 innings. I mean, once you get past Chris Sale, it's Gerrit Cole. Cole's not going to get there. He's got 2,251 strikeouts. He's been plagued with injuries. He's also pitched under 2,000 innings. I just don't believe the way the game is played today, starting pitchers will have the opportunity to get to that point unless they're playing 20 seasons, which also seems unfathomable anymore.
Right. I mean, just based on those numbers, I mean, you're looking at Sale, he'd have to throw 7 innings a game for the next 3 years.
Not feasible
to even have a remote chance at that. And that's not we don't see that anymore. I mean, we were watching, you know, the Dodgers game against when they had Yamamoto out there. The Dodgers have had 3 starts this year, 3 games, 3 all season, where their starting pitcher went into the 7th inning. That's the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what does that say for every other pitcher on every other team now and in the future?
And to make, again, I think that because we've seen Max Scherzer and we've seen Verlander hit 3,000, I think it's kind of taken a little bit of the awe factor out of what Kershaw did last night. One more statistic to really put this in perspective. There are only 7 active pitchers in the game right now who have more than 2,000 strikeouts. Think about that.
Wow.
There are only 7.
And that goes to what you said about the awe factor of this, right? And I get that because it doesn't seem anymore that there's that lore of these unachievable numbers, right? Like, certain numbers mean something in sports. You know, 50 touchdowns in a season, 40 touchdowns for a football quarterback, you know, 60 home runs for a baseball player. We don't think about these monumental career stats. We really don't get into that, especially in baseball. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just a generational thing. I don't know. But I have, like, 500 wins for Cy Young. We're never going to see that. That's unfair. You know, that's never going to happen. Pete Rose is never going to happen. These guys, those records are never, ever, ever going to be topped. Nolan Ryan's never, ever going to be topped. So I think there needs to be that awe factor. There needs to be that shock and awe moment of like, oh my God, what we're witnessing here might not ever happen again. And I think we get too caught up in, you know, how a team's doing today. Because if this had been, and I do think this, I think if Clayton Kershaw was pitching for the Kansas City Royals, or if he was pitching, like we talked about earlier, for the Texas Rangers, I don't think there'd be as much of a big deal about this. Because there should be a bigger deal, but I don't think it'd even be this big of a deal, simply because he plays for the Dodgers. That's the story here, right? The story was not only that he got the 3,000 strikeout 2 minutes earlier, Max Muncy turns into a triage unit for the Dodgers. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, in a moment. And Shohei Ohtani, and you know the whole factor of the Dodgers being defending world champions. It's almost as if you had to force sports media to focus on this story, because dear God, if I have to hear one more story about what took place in the NBA free agent market, most of the players I never even heard of until they mentioned their names, I'm going to lose my mind.
Well, and Steve,
that's where sports media is these days. Sports media is this vomiting out of, you know, NBA free agent moves, and I could care less. But it almost seemed like you had to force this historic moment to get reported on.
And I mentioned you on the show yesterday, and I said that I would ask you this question. I made a reference to horse racing. Okay, because for the longest time, it seemed like the casual fringe horse racing fans were obsessed with seeing a Triple Crown winner. It was affirmed in 78. We didn't see another Triple Crown winner until American Pharoah in 2015. And that was a story that you simply could not escape. Am I wrong in thinking that after American Pharoah won the Triple Crown in 2015, Justify getting it in 2018 just simply wasn't as big as a story because we had seen it 3 years prior, where before it had taken over 30 years to see a Triple Crown winner? Am I wrong in thinking that the recency of multiple Triple Crown winners took a little bit of the hurrah from the fringe fan out of Justify getting it 3 years after American Pharoah?
So I'll verify that by telling you a little bit about what happened in the 1970s. So in the 1970s, there was Secretariat. He won it in 73. Then Seattle Slough wins it in 77. Okay. Then Affirmed wins it in 78. So by the time you got to Affirmed in 78, you're right. It became sort of this afterthought. Oh, well, now every horse is going to win the Triple Crown. And there was talk at that time of making it harder to win, which is ironic because right around the early 2000s, mid-2000s, when we had gone 20, 25 years without a Triple Crown winner, there was talk of making it easier, lengthening the time between races. So everyone got all wicked into that. Now all that talk's done because you've had two in the last 10 years. But in the 70s, yeah, Affirmed, as spectacular a racehorse as he was, Affirmed kind of became an afterthought because you'd had the Secretariat in 73. You had Seattle Slough in 77. Then you had Affirmed in 78. And then, God forbid, in 1979, Spectacular Bid wins the Derby and the Preakness, loses the Belmont. So, I mean, I can only imagine what would have happened if Spectacular Bid won. And I would argue that of the four horses, Secretariat, Seattle Slough, Affirmed, and Spectacular Bid, Spectacular Bid's the one who gets forgotten the most and might have been better than all of them with the exception of Secretariat. So yes, to your point, Justify, when he won the Triple Crown in 2018, number one, it was the same trainer. Number two, it was Bob, you know, it was Bob Baffert, who had kind of embroiled himself in some controversy already. But yeah, it sort of became an afterthought when Justify did it because, oh, it had just been done. We went 37 years without it. So, yeah, there is a little bit of that. And I think there's a little bit of that also to the Kershaw angle of, you know, we don't see this often enough, so we don't really – and it's hard to entertain a 20-year-old with this story because Kershaw's 40. And it's hard to, you know, we don't have highlight reel moments of Clayton Kershaw dominating a baseball game. I mean, it was funny because my most recent – like, historic moment of Clayton Kershaw is of him getting beat up by the Washington Nationals, I believe it was, in the playoffs, and he's got his head sunk in the dugout because they just got knocked out of the playoffs again.
Diamondbacks. So it was the Diamondbacks.
That Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
It's that moment. It's that moment that, to me, not only as a Dodgers fan, but as a baseball fan, you don't have these, oh, wow moments. Like, you got to go back 10 years for his only no-hitter.
Yeah.
No, you know, 20-year-olds who watch ESPN, they're not interested in that. So I think there's a lot that goes into that story of, is it a hard story to cover? It shouldn't be. It should be a great historic moment, but unfortunately it gets lost in this quagmire of nonsense that's splattered all over, you know, sports television these days. I mean, I had to wait 20 minutes to hear about it last night.
Yeah.
On one of the sports channels because, you know, they had to go through another litany of basketball free agent moves and following players I've never heard of before.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Again, Steve Bordstein joining us right now as we talk about a historical night in Major League Baseball. Steve, you had mentioned that right before Kershaw gets strikeout 3,000 last night, Max Muncy takes a head to the knee on an attempted stolen base by Taylor for the White Sox. I mean, he plunked Muncy right in the knee. I mean, it's terrible to look at. They wouldn't even show the replay on the Dodger broadcast. We don't know what the status of Max Muncy is, but again, this falls right in line with what we were talking about on the show yesterday and trade deadline candidates. Alex Bregman is right at the very top for me, and I said the best spot for him would be the Seattle Mariners yesterday on the show. It's a team that's right in the thick of things as far as the playoff chase is concerned. The Red Sox on a one-year deal should probably move on from Bregman. But with all that being said, I believe the Dodgers now become a lead candidate to grab a third baseman because I don't believe we see Muncy for at least 2 months. And that's a travesty because after he got his glasses and his eyes figured out, he's actually been on a hot streak over the last month. But now, whenever we talk trade deadline, I think the Dodgers are going to be firmly cemented, and that should terrify other teams because we know they have no problem spending money. That's what also came out of last night's game.
No question. And, you know, there's a couple of options here if you're the Dodgers. You've got a couple of guys in the minor leagues who can come up and fill in a role. You've got Alex Freeland, who's hitting okay, but he's a good defensive third baseman right now at Oklahoma City. There's a couple of other players that are prospects that are right now languishing in the minor leagues. I don't need a guy to hit 30 home runs from third base. I need a guy who can handle the hot corner. The problem with Alex Freeland is he's 23. So this might be a little too much for him to handle. But if you bring up Alex Freeland and make a deal for Alex Bregman, okay, now you've got some solid, veteran experience at third base, and you got a guy who can platoon. All right, let's do that if you're the Dodgers. And he's cheap. It's a rental. Because he's on an expiring deal, he'll be gone at the end of the season, and you just need him back. We don't know the status of Max Muncy at this moment in time. The MRI results are still being evaluated. Best case scenario is it's a hyperextension. He's back in 2 months. Worst case scenario, which I think we're leaning more towards, is that it's an ACL, MCL tear. He's out for a year. He doesn't come back till next summer. So let's just assume the worst. Make the deal for Bregman. I think there's an affiliation there where he kind of likes the Dodgers, wherever. Let's go ahead and let's put aside, this is where you and I will be weird about it. We have to put aside what happened in 2017.
Yeah.
We're going to have to swallow what happened in 2017 when Bregman was with the Astros, right? So, all right, we'll swallow that. We'll put that away. I'd much rather have it be Bregman than Carlos Correa, who's not going to be a rental and is going to cost the Dodgers a hell of a lot more than Bregman would. So let's go ahead and make the deal for Bregman, bring up Freeland, that way you cover both bases. Otherwise, then you're dealing with other money. You got Ryan McMahon in Colorado, you've got Suarez down in Arizona, but that's going to cost you an arm and a leg. There's a couple of other guys that are out there, but I think the Bregman situation plays itself out for the Dodgers, and if you're Bregman, you're in a bidding war now, which is great for him. But I think it works out well either way. I feel bad that Muncy's not out there. I love Max Muncy, but, you know, we have a championship to win, so let's go out and just make the right deal.
It's another storyline to follow again as we hit the month of July and before you know what the trade deadline is going to be here. I think, again, when you look at all of the hot corner available players out there, the Dodgers getting involved in any sort of trade discussions is bad for other teams. We'll wait and see what the word is on Max Muncy. Again, Steve Bordstein joining us right now. Steve, I know you were right in the thick of things as far as the Connie Mack World Series is concerned in New Mexico, so I do appreciate you taking out the time to talk about what went down last night. Before I let you go, let's talk about everything you have going on and where we can find more of you.
On Twitter or X or whatever they call it, you can find my work at TCR Sports. That's Tri-City Record. That's the newspaper I work for. TCR Sports on Twitter. You can also check me out at TriCityRecordNM.com. We are in the midst of the Connie Mack World Series qualifying tournament for the state of New Mexico. 8 teams all throughout the state of New Mexico. The winner moves on to the Connie Mack World Series, which comes up at the end of this month. Teams from all over the country. It's one of the most prestigious amateur baseball events in America, and it happens every year right here in Farmington. So that's what I'm in the middle of right now. We just got done with another qualifying game here. We got 3 more coming up today, and I get you and I have the luxury of being able to watch sports and write about them and cover them and talk about them on the radio for a living, which is not the worst job in the world.
No, absolutely. Absolutely not. Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time.
Anytime, my friend. Thank you.
We've got to pause for just a moment. We do have more coming up again at Drive Time Sports live from the Sutherland Studios.